righty then. Here we are, The Matthew Aaron Show, www.thematthewaaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter. You can follow us there. That's at Matt Aaron Show. Once again, I ask that you go to iTunes and take a couple seconds to tell us if we suck or not. I mean, if we suck, we suck. But, you know, just be cool about it.
And really, we appreciate your comments. They mean a lot to us.
Of course. And I am, of course, Matthew Aaron. I am joined by...
Lee Capreas. Hello.
And my fabulous guest host. Everyone knows, if you've listened to the show, my favorite person on the planet.
Of course. He loves me.
I love... Producer Ann Lopez.
Matthew Aaron.
How are you?
I'm good. I have to start by apologizing to you, kind of, but not really.
Oh, please do apologize.
Because I'm always giving you shit on Facebook.
I was going to say...
Sometimes you say some really, really inappropriate things, and I kind of have to put you in your place.
Yes, I think that's fine.
You know, I think I'm the only one.
No, he's got a lot of reactionary Facebook friends.
You know, it's like sometimes I'm just like, Matthew, you went just a little too far there.
Yeah, my church group doesn't like it all the time either. Yeah, no.
Yeah, you know, you kind of cross that edge. It is Facebook.
Yes.
Right.
My mother likes to comment sometimes.
Oh, really?
Or my mother will call me. She called me once, and she goes... I agree with Ann. Don't use those kind of words. Don't use those kind of words.
Don't say that about those people.
I know.
Oh, my God.
I know. My Facebook,
the mommy in me kind of.
I don't filter a lot of things.
No, you don't, which I like about you.
Yeah.
I like that about you. But
but at the same time.
Same time, it kind of. I was married to a comedian for almost 20 years. I get it.
Right.
You know?
It's an 18 and older crowd on
yes,
Facebook.
Yes, it is.
For
it
me.
Is. Mm-hmm. You are.
But your Facebook's a lot nicer.
Yes, I'm kind of sunshine and puppy dogs.
I like that about you, though.
You
we
know,
balance
I'm
each other out.
I'm always trying to put out these positive messages. But see, actually, I'm pretty lazy. I don't know how to do a lot of stuff on Facebook. So what I do is I go to my private Facebook page.
Okay.
And I take those little sunshiny things that other people post.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I
yeah,
share
yeah.
them on my
I've noticed
public
that.
Page.
You're a okay. sharer.
Because I don't know how to do that. I'm kind of a... dodo when it comes to, you know,
you see
computers.
Something you like a
yeah.
producer,
yeah.
and you share it.
I share it.
That's what producers
I
do.
I spread the word.
They share things they love. Like
some
this
people are
does.
Carriers, some people are messengers. That's what...
Yeah.
Yes, I am a messenger of love and goodness.
Well, but let me ask you, though, Ann, because first of all, anyone that listens to the show knows,
yeah.
Ann and I have electric chemistry.
Yes, we do.
And I love Ann.
I'm sitting across from you just... salivating.
Are you picking up on the chemistry, folks?
She likes the haircut.
Yeah. I do.
It's very Tom Hanksy.
It's I know. Very cute.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
It's very,
no,
it's
like
very
it.
You got drafted into Vietnam.
No, it is not.
Oh, now
it's adorable.
Oh, now you're lucky you got Ann defending you from me now.
Honestly,
oh,
I like it. It's kind of a grown up Matthew. With a little punky edge on that little top thing there.
I know, the colic is kind of punky.
Yeah.
I like the colic.
I actually think I kind of look younger now, too. I kind of look 28 now.
Yeah.
That whole baby face is just showing.
Yeah. You can pass for 28.
I honestly
can pass for 28?
Yeah.
Like I'm not.
Right.
She's like, you can pass for 28.
Little boy, who let you in here?
We know you're lying about your age.
Can we have your ID, please?
So what I was going to ask you, though, is you don't just produce, though. You create a lot of things. I mean.
Yeah. No, you know what? I always say I'm kind of like the jack of all trades and perhaps,
right.
hopefully, the master of a few.
Yes.
But, I do a lot of stuff. I obviously, I do this kind of stuff with you.
Yeah, which I love.
I host. I produce. I act. So, you know, I kind of...
You're a talk
I used to
show
be a
host in the way
Yeah, and I used to be a casting director, so...
Oh.
I've kind of...
So
done it all.
You've done it all. Well,
you know what it is? I get bored really easily.
Yeah, you like to remain busy.
Yeah.
You have to have like a bunch of projects going on once. You need that phone going, that iPad going at all times.
In fact, it's so funny. About 2.5 weeks ago, I get a call from an old friend of mine, Kiki Melendez. She does this for like 15 years. She's been doing this thing called Hot Tamales.
Okay.
Where she puts female comedians together, and she had lost her funding, lost her producer, lost everything.
Yeah.
So I came in, and also Google 123 came in, and I produced one of them. And so here I've got this comedy special that I just finished producing.
Now, let me ask you this. Is this just one comedy special, or are you hoping it continues as like a series
of
them?
I did produce some of George's comedy specials. So
yeah.
Now, you know, I hate to say it, but I kind of lost love of comedy, stand-up comedy for a while. But after seeing these ladies, I kind of fell in love with stand-up comedy again.
Yeah.
And who do you have in there?
I have Carla Collins, she's like the number one comedian in Canada.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
She's a tall drink of water, baby, this tall blonde with these legs that don't stop. Vanessa Hollingshead, who is hilarious. She actually like shows her crack.
That's good for comedy specials, though, to be funny.
Yeah, you know what? She shows her crack. She's not afraid
to show
her crack.
She shows her crack.
Well, I like that about her, and she's out of New
when
York.
When I show my crack, no one goes on the radio and says,
no,
I like that about
him. She's got a little tramp stamp and
her butt crack
her
or
butt
the other side? No,
her
butt
other
crack,
side.
Sorry. Right. No, butt crack.
We don't call that a crack.
Okay. I just said, some people...
That's a mound of love.
Okay. Love her.
That's her love mouth.
I like
mouth.
That. Love okay. mouth.
Boy, that is flowery and cute.
Yes.
That is that would go on your Facebook page.
Yes. She's not sharing that.
Don't show your love mouth. Keep it to yourself.
So is this for Google?
No.
Okay.
Mine, I'm selling it. To someone that
someone.
I can't talk. A network.
You're in negotiation.
I'm in negotiation.
You cannot yap about it. Understandable.
Yes. And then I had Aretha Jones, who is hilarious. She... I'm telling you, these ladies, I mean, I think every stand-up comedian is really fucked up. It's hysterical.
Yeah.
She did not find out. Her mother passed away.
Okay.
And when she was 40, and when she was looking through her mother's papers, she found out she was adopted.
That's the Jack Nicholson
story, yeah.
Right?
I mean, it's pretty intense. Then I have a comedian, Ceci Marlowe, who is very sexy. Ceci Marlowe grew up as a Jehovah's Witness. And she's certainly making up for it now.
I was going to say, when writing the stand-up comedy.
Yeah. And then my last comedian on the show is Helen Hun, who is Korean and very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And she talks about how Helen is possibly the most unsexy name ever. You know, unfuckable name. She talks about that.
Right.
Up there with, like, you know, Agatha and things like that. So.
Bertha.
Agatha's a little worse than Helen.
Yeah, Agatha's a little bit. But I think, you know, she says that her dad kind of went down names and goes, oh, Helen, yeah, not fuckable name. I'm going to name it, you know.
Your Korean was really good.
Well,
that was
I'm imitating her.
But that was pretty good.
Was that okay?
Yeah, it was okay.
For Cuban chick? All right.
For Cuban chick, yeah. Well, that sounds great, though.
Yeah, and then I've got a show in development at Nickelodeon, a kids show.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Which one is it? The regular Nickelodean or when there's something?
No, regular Nick.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like little kid, like kid, teenage.
Because don't
kid
they have
Nick.
Teen Nick too, which Nick Cannon runs?
Nick Jr.
Yeah. Nick Jr.
I want to say
no,
Nick,
mine's like
Nick
the,
Cannon
the,
runs
the
Teen Nick.
Middle
Teen Nick.
Middle ground Nick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Nick Cannon's a busy man.
Yes, he is.
Runs that Teen Nick. You got America's Got Talent.
And he's got Mariah.
Oh,
and you know, he's got to polish those diamonds, baby.
But he had a problem with his kidneys.
Oh my God!
Remember, earlier
really
in the
bad.
Year, and he had quit his radio show.
Yeah.
But,
no, I'm telling
good,
you, people have
now.
To take care of themselves. I mean, that Philip Phillips. What about that? The guy that won American Idol. My God, he's like they put a stent in.
Yeah.
And then he sat there and did the entire American Idol in pain because of this huge. Kidney stone that he had. He didn't want to get operated.
Oh,
on.
I remember that. You were very upset over the winner of American Idol, even
no,
though you
I
thought
was.
He was
well,
good.
He was good,
but he wasn't the other girl.
No, you know what?
Because her and Jennifer Holliday did
the
song together.
No, you know what? I loved.
When's the last time a woman won?
That's the thing.
Years.
Yeah,
six years.
A long time ago.
6 years.
And she was kind of, you know, she was good enough to win, and, you know.
It was another white guy with a guitar that won.
Oh, great.
It's always a white guy with a guitar.
Yeah, exactly,
right.
Exactly.
I mean, I think the last
How
5 years,
white
guys
with
a guitar
can win? Although he's pretty cool because he's so different.
But you think it's because the main audience for Idol is, like,
girl.
18 to 34,
yeah.
even, like, younger, like 12
oh,
to 34-year-old
yeah,
women,
they
and they're
there,
like,
voting.
Ooh, white
right.
guy with a guitar.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, political campaigns being geared towards
right.
things that affect elderly people
and it's
because
always,
those people vote.
Yeah. Right. It's always some 17-year-old guy that sounds like B.B. King
right.
somehow.
right.
Like, he's real deep.
It's always Rick Astley.
Yeah.
yeah.
So,
forever.
What,
what do you do, Ann, when someone comes to you to pitch a project? What's your
Listen.
You listen. Well, other than you listen. Thanks, Ann.
I listen to them, and, you know. No, I listen. I start to think, you know, listen to their idea, see if it's a viable idea. You know, sometimes I have to change the idea and tweak it.
Because it's your money.
Well,
you're
no,
like, look,
you know,
I'm tweak
if I think
this,
I'm gonna, if I think it's gonna sell, or I tweak it so it can sell, and you know, but you know what's so funny is like last season, a show that I thought you never know what's gonna hit,
right?
You know, like I didn't think this Nickelodeon show might get bought, and it did, and then a show that I was developing, that was a co-parenting show for divorced families, kind of like a Nanny 911 for divorce. I thought that would go, and it like went nowhere.
Now, did you
it's
have to pay for that show? How does this work? Where,
well,
do
usually
you raise
you,
the money?
Nickelodeon said, we'll put you on after the...
Oh, so you're pitching them an idea and getting the money from them.
Yeah.
You're like, give me the fucking money.
I'm not going to put my money in there.
Yeah, OPM, other people's money.
No, other people's money, baby. I mean, I usually, sometimes I have to buy an idea and, you know, pay a little holding fee, but no.
Right.
That's darling, that you never put your own money.
No.
No.
Nickelodeon said we'll slip this show in between showings of the Fred movie.
I'll give you $100,000 to put my show on, and then I make nothing.
Now, no, we're going through a process right now where we're developing a pilot, and the whole thing is it's like we're like, oh well, we have these big time EPs. Why don't they pay for it? That's not how it works, sweetheart. OPM.
No,
right? Am I right,
EPs
though?
EPs have the power to get you in.
Right.
And that's what they bring to the table.
Right.
Then you get the power.
See, that's what I love about Ann Lopez. She just straightened it all out.
And sometimes you even get the woman.
The woman.
Sometimes you even get the woman.
Sometimes. In this town, if you have the power, you get the woman.
Well.
And they want something from you.
I don't know. Is Ken eating or something, though?
I see
Ken's going to eat.
Ken's hanging out.
Ken's in our green room.
Ken's eating.
The whole room's
Ken
green, so I just call it a green room.
Yeah. Oh, this is
they're
a
in our green room.
Very nice.
Very
he's got
green.
A nice soda.
Oh, he's rocking the Faygo.
Okay.
I'm going to do a play-by-play of Ken drinking Faygo.
All right, he looks at it, checks
it
to make
really
sure.
It looks really good.
Still
Ooh,
cold?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
oh,
bubbles
man.
And everything.
It's like that Diet Coke commercial from the 90s where the women are ogling the guy.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So let me ask you this.
Yes.
Okay, you're doing this Nick show, hopefully, and you got this pilot, this other comedy special you're pitching around. What do you want to do in the future? What's like the one Ann Lopez project we haven't seen yet?
I'd like to host.
You
that's
do.
Kind of what I want
yeah,
to do.
You
host,
are.
Get a, you know me. That's kind of my thing.
You'd be great at that.
You know what? I'll tell you what's happened is I am becoming a dinosaur. No, I'm serious.
How's that?
A non-writing producer in Hollywood now, it's really, really hard.
Yeah.
Very difficult. It's just unheard of.
Right.
So the fact that I'm still out there, you know, pitching and getting things, it's kind of amazing.
That's great,
because they don't, you know, I have a lot of relationships.
They
which
must
is good.
Like you.
Well, I am. I can make friends with pretty much. I will know
your
life story within 5 minutes.
You
I love that.
You're friendly.
Yes. I'm
sometimes
a friendly
I
gal.
Tell people I don't know if I'm Ann's friend or she makes friends with everybody. I think it's everybody.
Oh
yeah.
No, but
there's
you're
nothing.
My friend.
Oh well, thank you.
Although
I love
you've
that.
Never asked me out drinking or anything.
Oh.
I think you would be a hell of a drinking buddy.
Listen, Ann.
What's he into? What's he into?
I
tell
am,
me. He looks like a freak to me.
Well, I'll tell you.
I'm telling
something.
You.
I'll
I think
you.
He's a freakazoid.
He currently is not drinking.
Okay.
I'm
okay. Good.
All right. So I'll have to drink for him.
Okay.
All right. And I'll
we
match you.
Take a
but
hike.
I am a
I'll
lot
match
of fun.
You. I'll match you.
Are you getting healthy? Is this the thing?
Yeah. Something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Healthy here and you know.
Well, you know what? I'm kind of
healthy
me too.
I'll match
but
you. Drink
I love
for drink,
dancing.
Chica.
Let's dance.
I love it. Gina Belafonte and I we were gonna go dance the other
oh
night.
God.
I was so pumped. And then we went somewhere else.
Do you like karaoke, Ann Lopez?
Oh.
Oh, I would be. I've actually never done.
You've
karaoke.
Never karaoke.
Oh boy, is it a lot of fun?
Can you imagine me karaokeing?
Yeah,
that would be really.
I'd
fun.
Love it.
That'd be great.
I'd love it.
I can't believe you've
you
never
know,
been.
I think I'm a singer, but I have no range.
That's what everyone that does karaoke.
Yeah,
is.
I think
so
I
it's
can
all right.
sing, but I can't. You know,
so
I can't
in Hollywood, it's a little different. Everyone's kind of good at it.
People kind of take it seriously,
and then I'm kind of not.
Yeah.
I would be kind of like that scene in My Best Friend's Wedding where you know Cameron Diaz. Really was bad, and everyone got on her side.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
That's kind of how you have to do it in Hollywood.
I think we'd
I think.
Have a blast. Though.
I think we would.
Yeah, we can go out and have
That's
a blast.
That's karaoke.
That's
I think
fun
we
time.
Should.
Karaoke.
I think we should because I'm at this party the other night, And I met Gina Belafonte, Harry's daughter.
My.
And of course Harry's like a legend, right?
I love Harry. And yellow
Gina,
bird.
Gina's so sexy. She's coming on the show soon.
So you can do the Calypso.
Oh,
then.
My God. And I'm ready to go. I'm like, Gina, let's
you
go.
Can, you
let's
can dance
go.
Like at the table with Beetlejuice.
Yeah, but she can sing, too. Come on.
I know.
Gina
she
can
pretends
sing.
She can't.
Oh,
she claims she can't. She says she has a shower voice. And then she started singing a song when I was playing one, and she started singing. I'm like, you're so full of shit.
She is. Because you know what? I've heard
her
sing. She has a good voice.
She's fantastic.
She's gorgeous and can sing and everything.
I can't.
I just remember on The Commish, she was like bald.
Oh, I don't
know. You
remember
never watched
that.
The Commish with Chiklis and her?
No.
Yeah, there's that old show, The Commish. It was not your demographic.
No,
it's for like 70-year-old women, The Commish.
The Commish.
But she had like the shaved head, so she was like the Puerto Rican girl with the like shaved head.
Sounds
you know?
Like a deli item.
Right. The shaved head Puerto Rican girl?
No, The Commish.
Oh, The Commish.
Commish. Yeah. I'll have The Commish. So
10 seconds. My mic has a 10-second lag.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I love Chiklis. I love Chiklis.
Chiklis is cool.
Yeah, he's
the
awesome.
Hulk. No, not the Hulk. What was he? What was he in that?
Fantastic Four.
Fantastic Four.
Yes.
What was the name of that character?
Ben Grimm. The Thing.
The Thing.
Ben Grimm.
The Thing.
I even know his surname. I'm like that good.
Are you a comic
I'm
book
like
dude?
I'm like that nerdy.
Is he a comic book nerd?
He goes to
comic.
I'm
not as nerdy as comic book nerds.
You know, I dated.
You're kind
I'm
of
a
an all-purpose
comic
you're
book.
You're kind
guy.
Of an all-purpose nerd because you're a nerd about music, movies, comic books, like lots of things, but not hardcore.
No. Well, that's because I got my hand in every cookie jar.
Yeah.
It can't be hardcore.
You got your fingers in a lot of pies.
You know, I dated a guy in the 80s when I was acting at Coconut Grove Playhouse, and he was an actor also, and he was a comic book nerd, and in his bedroom he had all those comic books in the little sleeves and everything, and I just thought it was the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah, you so didn't want to hook up with
him then. I now realize that, you know, hey, didn't Nicolas Cage sell his for $1 million? And,
I know,
you know,
right?
I mean, hey, little did I know, doll, that, you know.
Did this actor friend of yours end up going on to be like a big stinking deal?
You know, he could have been. He liked being a big fish in a little sea. So when I moved out to L.A., he did a lot of Miami Vices and did...
So he wanted to
he
be
lot,
the number God, one actor in Boise, Idaho.
In Miami.
Yeah,
like,
in Miami. Oh, Miami's
he wanted to be
good.
Miami, dude.
Miami's good.
And he was. I mean, he did a lot of stuff in Miami. But, you know, how much can you do in Miami?
No, but Andy Garcia owns that town, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
I mean, I believe he owns the city of Miami.
All roads lead back to Andy.
I was just with Andy on Saturday at Olivia Campos's 8th birthday party.
Aww.
Trina Tarantino and Alfonso Campos' daughter, and it was a Charlie Chaplin birthday party. This 8-year-old girl, she's amazing.
Yeah.
She dressed up in the whole tuxedo,
top
with a little
hat.
Mustache, the top hat, everything, and we all went, and we all put little mustaches on and took pictures as Charlie Chaplin. It was really cute.
That's actually really nice.
Except Andy didn't do that.
And no, of course
no,
Andy
no.
did not
he
put the mustache. No.
He had his circular glasses. Yeah, right.
No, Andy's cool. He was not having the
You know,
Andy is more of a Buster Keaton kind of guy.
Yeah. I had Andy's daughter, Dominique, on the show.
Isn't
How
she
much
the
do you
best?
Love her?
She's very
I've
cool.
known her forever.
You love her, right?
She's
She's great.
Cool.
She's great.
She's a cool chick. Miami Heat.
She plays
Miami Heat.
For them.
She plays for the Miami Heat.
She does a great LeBron.
Yes.
You know what's so funny was one day she was at my house and I'd had a party or something and she was talking because she didn't have a boyfriend. I said, so come on, tell me, what kind of guy do you like? And she said, I like athletes, I like this, I like that. I go...
Like me, yeah.
Well, so why don't I set you up with Sasha? You remember Sasha from the Lakers?
Oh.
I told Andy got so...
Sasha Vujicic?
Yeah, Sasha, whatever his name is.
Look, I don't know how much I should say. But, okay, Dominique and I, we were talking, right?
Yeah, doll.
Okay. I don't think Andy likes her to have any boyfriends.
No.
My opinion, Andy, I love you. My opinion.
Her mother wants her married with grandchildren already.
Yeah.
Because her mother says, by your age, I had 2 children.
Right.
And I want grandchildren.
And Andy doesn't want her
wonderful.
To grow up.
I think, well, he's, you know, that's his little girl.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
No matter what. I think there's,
he has
you know,
a
there's
bunch
a lot
of daughters,
of sex
though, right?
On Magic City.
Is there 3 daughters?
3 daughters and 1 son.
Right, right.
So there's Dominique.
Yeah.
Then Daniela, who's also an actress.
But she's not going to be getting nude on Magic City. She told me she's not getting naked.
No.
That's what she told me.
Which coincidentally coincides with the stopping of your watching.
Yeah.
I think she'll just suck face a lot.
It's funny. I watched all 3 episodes of Magic City. And
all
then,
three.
and then I watched the first three, and then Dominique told me she would not be getting naked. I haven't watched one since.
Yeah.
Coincidence?
Oh my God.
No coincidence? I don't know.
If this were Facebook, you would be getting a response from Ann so fast.
I remember Ann got the most mad at me one time because she's friends with Elizabeth Olsen.
Yes.
And I was saying what great boobs she had.
Oh, I was so mad.
And Ann was like, Matthew.
Well, first of all, in your defense, Ann...
I love how you say she's young, like
Ann,
I'm old.
First of
you're not old, but she's like 21 or something, like 20.
But here's the thing.
That's my
Your defense, Ann did not deny that statement.
No.
No, I did not deny it.
No, she didn't deny it.
Okay. I didn't deny that she has great boobs.
Ann,
sure
she was
does.
Running around this movie. Did you see this movie, though?
Yes.
Okay, see... Come on, you're asking for it at that point.
Oh,
wait, that sounds
bad. But you
know
what? Here's the drama, and all you can talk about, I mean, not her good acting, all you can talk about is her tits. Come on.
Yeah. We said she was good.
Jesus.
She was great in Martha Marcy.
I think she's one of the best up-and-coming actresses.
She's unbelievable.
She's very
which
good.
Which I said after Ann yelled at me. I go, and she is a great actress.
Yeah, I know.
I wanted to throw that in there.
Okay, this is, okay, I'm going to get very she-she on you. So I spent a week with her at a French chateau.
Oh, really?
Yes. I bought, through my daughter's school, these classmates of hers, they have a French chateau. And so they gave it for a week. I bought it. And a bunch of us went, about 12 of us went. And Lizzie was finishing a movie with Robert De Niro in Barcelona.
Oh, that's
so
the
international.
One. That's the Cindy Cohen movie that's coming out,
right.
Red Hour.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So... She flew over and was with us because she knows the Rick Baker's daughters, Veronica and Rebecca.
Does.
So they all went to school together. So we all hung out in France at the chateau and went to little villages and
had a
good
time. Lovely time.
Lovely time.
Lovely
She's a lovely
time.
Girl.
Who's like your best friend in the business?
In the business?
That like you go out with, hang out.
Marla Garland, Jeff Garland's wife.
You love Marla.
And
she's a casting agent,
too.
So did you guys cast together? Or?
No, we never did.
Okay.
You know what? I knew Jeff for a long time,
just
around, and I love Jeff.
Yeah.
And Jeff, finally, he said, you and my wife are like the same person. You've got to meet Marla. And now we're inseparable. So I love her. And Jeff, we just went to have deep dish pizza at Mazza in Echo Park. I felt very
did
hip.
Did you like Mazza?
I did.
You did.
Do you not
was
like
the
it?
Deep dish good? Anybody
it
have you had
good.
It in Chicago?
Really?
Have you had Chicago deep dish?
I know. That place, Illuminati or something in Chicago.
Illuminati? I love how
I don't know.
High society Anne is. Illuminati.
What is
Lumalnati.
What is it called?
Lumalnati.
Lumalnati.
That's not a bad try because I've heard people
Illuminati.
Pronounce it. Oh, yeah. Luca Brasi's Pizza.
Luca Brasi.
Yeah,
Ken still eat.
No, so we went, and it was pretty good. We had a good time.
Great.
I had never been to Echo Park.
Now, wait,
I've been in L.A. for 20-something
years. Did Jeff go?
Jeff went, yeah.
Did he like it? Because he would be
he
a good
did.
Judge.
He
did
like it.
He said it was close to home?
Close. No, no cigar, but close.
Yeah, close.
There's nothing exactly.
Yeah.
They actually, Jeff and Marla got me into the West Coast Chicago People's Party, whatever
right.
it was. And they had that pizza flown in.
I know they did.
And
I wasn't
to tell
invited.
You weren't invited? Well, I wasn't either.
It sounds like you were.
And no. I snuck in with Jeff.
Oh, you snuck in.
And Marla. Let me tell you, that pizza was... it's ridiculous.
Mm. Yeah.
That's
great.
Why. Marla says
and
when she comes
back... And the Portillo's beef?
They had that, too.
Well, I know they did.
You know,
I heard
all. You're not happy that you were not invited to that party.
I got a call about this party the next day.
The next day.
I get the after party call. Matt, you
should have been there.
Matt.
I would have if I could have. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw
And then we met the owners of the Stella Rosa.
Yes.
And they're like, you'll be at the next one.
The next one.
And
next
I'm like,
year.
I'm sure I will be.
Next year.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I hate short pants. I just feel weird. I was griping about it earlier.
Why are you wearing shorts?
Because it was warm and I was tired of my crotch boiling.
Oh, whoa.
That's why. But like I don't like crotch.
It's
and
boiling.
Now nobody's eating a Coney dog. Everyone
just passed
their food off.
Is it? But do you find you get that same thing where?
I'm ready.
You get that same thing where It's impossible for people to take you seriously when you're wearing short pants.
Are we talking about diaper rash? Really?
Yeah,
God,
but you
I'm
can't,
so glad
like,
we're about
rash?
To kick you out
people
right now.
People don't care. I know. That's why I started this. Because I figured I might
ball
as well go
rash,
on this kind
ball
of a note.
Rash.
I know.
Gold bond. You should wear
gold
some
bond.
Gold bond on there.
I can't get in something if people... I'm screaming, but I'm wearing shorts, so no one's taking me seriously. I'm just like, hey, just have a margarita.
But
yeah.
You know,
like
this is a radio show, so no one really knows that
you're... I know. I got...
Thank God.
Well,
thank
you got.
God.
She got dressed up
I
for
know,
the show.
Like, wait, but, no, I got dressed out. Up for Matthew.
And I've never seen Ann not look like a 10.
Right.
When
oh,
she comes out.
Oh,
but that's true. Yeah. That's true. Every time I see you, you're decked out and
okay.
You look
a 10
great.
For an old lady in Hollywood.
I got
considered
to,
old
my,
in Hollywood. I think.
The,
Andy, you wear short pants.
You are not
I
old.
I wear short shorts.
I what no, you, when you were dressed up at the Los Angeles Italian Film
oh,
Festival.
Oh, yeah, I was.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I
ask Lee. I couldn't stop talking about you for like 20 minutes. I go, and low.
Yeah, he was. I'm like, yes, I guess. She's
I looked good that night.
She's oh, so.
I didn't say I looked good that
you
night.
Look great.
Yeah.
You had the boots going.
The
yeah.
boots and the mini skirt.
You had the little fur,
the fur
jacket thing.
Right.
And the, oh.
You know, the Prada fur thing.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah.
And always looks good. You
I like
did some magazine
up.
Thing recently, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
About
yes.
how good you look, I think.
No.
It was right. pretty much...
Actually, it was for
you
organ
donation. You were telling women, though, what to wear.
Oh, yes.
Because you know how
right.
good you look.
Yes, it's for yeah. Beyond the Rack.
Yeah.
I am there. I'm a correspondent
yeah.
for them.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know you look good.
Yes. So I kind of...
Because they know you
I
look
like
good.
I like fashion.
Yeah.
I like that. But, you know, I don't like to walk around all the time fashion-y. Like, if
right.
you have somewhere to
right.
go, but, you know, I kind of like my sweats and T-shirts, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, you got to...
When you go to, like, Porto's Bakery, you're
exactly.
in your sweats.
Exactly, Porto's.
Yeah. Do you
the
go to Porto's?
You know what? I stay away from that place. I
why?
Love it. Because
of the
if
line,
not, I would gain 50
line.
Million pounds.
Oh, but isn't the line there ridiculous?
Well, I know the people, so I cut the line. But
oh! We are going to Porto's with Ann and cutting that line.
Ann, you know I got to get there at 7 fucking a.m. to get some fucking
okay, you
cupcakes.
Call me. I'll have whatever you want waiting for you.
Yeah.
You know what?
Okay.
I should have known you know them,
okay.
though.
Okay. I know Porto's.
Bring your
the
iPad,
Cubans,
and while you're waiting.
Stick together.
No, I have to tell you, when I first came to town... And I was very, you know, get homesick. And I would go, they only had the Porto's in Glendale at that time. And I would go to the Porto's in Glendale and just sit there just to hear Cuban Spanish.
Oh.
And old Mr. Porto, the father, looked like my godfather. And I would just sit there and kind of have my little pastries. And it was like my Cuba time.
Oh.
But now they're near my house.
It was happy Cuba time.
But they're near my house and it's really
all right, we're bringing
scary.
Ken.
We're
going to
bring
good.
On Ken.
We're bringing Ken over. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're good. We're,
okay.
How about Caesar tries to plan things out like he's actually producing? He's like, do we fit him in now or do we schedule him in like a minute or whatever?
I like how we were bringing him on as soon
he's
as I
here.
Had something to say.
Let's get
that's good.
Mr. Ken Marino is now going to be joining us. Ann and Lee are doing the, what's that game where they switch seats?
Oh, switcheroo, musical
did
chair.
You just try to talk into the headphones, Ann? All right. I love Ann Lopez. She just tried talking in the headphones. That was adorable.
Hey, I'm kind of a dork.
No, that was adorable, though.
Ay, ay, ay.
That was adorable. You tried talking into headphones.
I know.
Okay.
I'm so nice.
So we are joined by Ken Marino.
Ken Marino!
And, of course, I'm with producer Ann Lopez.
Hi, Ann Lopez.
And,
hello, darling.
But I wanted to talk about Burning Love, of course.
Yes.
Premieres June 4th on Yahoo Comedy.
That's right.
Okay.
First of all, let's just before we even get in. Hello, nice to see you.
Hi, Ken. How are you,
nice
Matthew Aaron?
Nice to meet
Aaron.
You.
Nice
how
to
are
meet
you,
sir.
Okay, before we
hello,
say
hi.
Anything, hello, Ken. Ken is a
how
Sagittarius.
Yes.
I am a Sag. Yeah.
And so are you.
I was born on the 18th. You're on the 19th.
I'm the 19th. Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
I'm a triple Sag.
I am too.
I don't know what.
Whoa.
I am a triple
means.
Sag with a, but I'm a Capricorn rising, so it kind of evens me out.
Whoa!
I thought there were only three, but I honestly I don't know what the heck
you're
it means. Somebody just told me I'm a triple Sag.
His sun, his moon, and
what
his Venus are in Sag.
His
sun, his moon, and his Venus.
Oh, his Venus.
I don't know. I don't know what it means.
I was. I heard something else.
I thought he said my son has a bag.
I was like his son and his.
And I was like, how dare you? My son has
you
a
know
penis.
What my favorite thing about IMDb is too.
What? Because I get things wrong sometimes.
All the time. But I go there as my last thing to do research on, even though I didn't have too much research for Ken because Ken has no idea. He's too busy. But, you know, I'm a Michael Ian Black's been on the show.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We love David Wayne.
The best.
Yeah, okay. Best guys ever. We love you guys.
Thanks.
This is big for me. But so I go to IMDb anyways. It's always my last, like, little place. And it's like...
Oh, yeah, don't look at them. But it's
Ken Marino with leading man looks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, who writes these things?
Yeah.
They're like, he doesn't always get comedy roles because of his leading man looks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Probably a woman wrote it.
Yeah.
You know.
It also says that I'm...
He hopes a woman
it. Also gives the wonderful fact that I'm 2 years older than everybody else in the state.
I'm oh, like, is that what
who
it
cares?
Says,
like,
too?
Who cares?
It says that, like, on
he's
the thing?
2 years older than everybody or something. I'm like...
He's the old codger of the state.
Oh, am I allowed to... What is...
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can,
he's the old codger of the state. Everyone else is so young compared to Ken.
Grandpa.
Okay. So we'll get into your career in a minute. I want to get into all that bullshit. But Burning Love, okay?
Burning Love.
Okay.
What have you
seen? I can't wait to see
No
it.
One would give me a preview.
Okay.
Because I'm not that high on the priorities list.
Okay. All right.
But I saw a trailer.
I saw the trailer.
And the trailer's funny as shit.
Thank you.
It's
so
funny.
Funny.
I appreciate it. Did you know what else is up there? There's Meet Mark, which is a 2-minute interview with Michael Ian Black, who's the host of the show.
Yeah, by the way, he looks great.
My God.
Yeah,
he's perfect casting.
He's awesome on it.
Perfect
casting. So he does a 2-minute interview of what I'm looking for in a woman.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of trailers up, and I think today we release little clips of introducing all the women.
I want to ask you about, first of all, I want to explain what this show is. So basically, for all those people that watch The Bachelor, or shows like that, reality TV.
Yeah.
This is your way of poking fun at it.
It's our way of poking fun at it, but also...
But you're taking it serious at the same time, I kind of feel. Like.
Yes, well, it's not a love letter to these shows.
No.
But it certainly is an homage. We are embracing...
But you're playing Mark seriously, though.
Well, I think the only way to do a parody of that is to play it that way.
I
you know
agree.
What I mean? Like, we're not trying to make it much bigger than what it is. We're just trying to, and my goal, I had directed it as well, and my goal was to try to make it as real as possible because, you know, my wife wrote it, and the script was ridiculous. So if we played it very seriously and we shot it the same tone of that show, I thought it was probably the best way to kind of approach
it. Okay, but did you see how humble he was there?
Yes.
My wife wrote it.
I
directed it. I starred it. I mean, it's amazing. You are
Sharon,
powerhouse. And he writes. I mean, it's crazy.
Sharon, some burning love.
Look, here's the deal. I'm just trying to survive.
I'm trying to
stay out of the red. And so I figured the
Ken,
best
I'm not
way to
believing
make,
you on that.
The best
yeah.
way to make the most money in this town is to do webisodes.
Ken, you're great, though. What do you mean you're staying out of the red? Okay, first of all, and this is why you're so great, too. I want to tell you.
Oh, God.
Role models.
Yeah.
Okay? Wanderlust. I want to explain why these movies are so good, though.
Okay.
You wrote them. Okay.
You
co-wrote them, but everyone plays everything straight.
Yeah.
You don't make these people just like wackos or I mean, even in role models, you got that like group of what do you call them? The guys
they're LARPers, right?
The LARPers. Yeah, but it's like they're not so outrageous that you wouldn't really know these guys.
Well,
you've seen these guys.
I mean, I think our approach to that particular movie and that group of that subculture of people, it was to embrace it and not just make fun of it. I mean, you know, we do poke fun at it, but we wanted to try to show that these are people who are doing something that they're passionate about and to have a good time. I mean, that they're passionate about and that they... I literally forgot what I was talking about. There's too many TVs here.
Too many TVs.
And I have ADD, guys. I like literally was talking, and then I saw somebody take a swing at a baseball, and I was like, "Well, that was a good pitch." So what was I saying?
Well, we were talking about
that you lovingly poke fun, and yet preserve the humanity.
Yeah, well, I mean, because
these people,
that's the truth. Yeah. I think that's the truth of who these people are. You know, I mean, it's silly, but it's also they're doing something they're passionate about, and so we wanted to embrace that too. We didn't want it to just be a movie about like. Look at how silly these guys are.
Right. Do you feel you're very good, though, at writing fish-out-of-water-style comedy? Because even The Ten had a lot of fish-out-of-water-type comedy in it. which I thought, I love the 10, by the way. I think it's very underrated.
Thanks,
I do. I think it's underrated.
I like the 10 very much as well.
I know. I think because it was like a, you know, like Kentucky Fried movie. Like, I think because it was sort of like that, there, you know, it's hard to distribute, but if people could check it out, it's great.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly an acquired taste. I mean,
yeah.
You know, Dave and I wanted to see what would happen if we wrote something and then didn't take notes from anybody.
Yeah.
And then somebody was bold enough to give us money to shoot it, and so we shot it. And that's the result of it, the 10,
yeah.
which I think is, it's just a funny, I mean, to me, the reason I wanted to do it was because I think back in when, you know, when we were in college and like when you would go out and you'd be like, what movie? I want to watch a movie, but I don't want to like think too much. I just want to see something really stupid and fun. And I go back to Kentucky Fried Movie and Adams on Women on the Moon. And,
you're right.
You know, and Woody Allen, Everything You Want to Know.
Everything You Want to Know About
You know,
sex. Yeah.
And so we were like, let's do our version of that. And so
it was.
But you know, it's not a movie that has like heart. I mean, it came from the heart when we wrote it. But like, it's not a movie that you can grab onto any other way than to just say, oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
and
I loved
funny,
it.
You know?
I loved it. But do you feel you have a specialty for doing that outside looking in type comedy, that fish out of water type comedy?
I don't know. I never thought about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think those are the types of movies I respond to, and then I guess.
Do you
enjoy writing?
Do you write with you, not necessarily like I'm going to be the lead in this film, but like when you even write role models, is one of the characters, since you co-write it, is one of them like you in a way? Is that how you write it, or do you really just like go through the whole process of making up characters and based on that respond to them in the environment?
When I don't think, oh, I want to play this part.
No, but are you ever like, this is how I would respond in these situations in role models?
Well, I guess the training in writing that I had was the state. You know,
yeah.
That was kind of my writing college or whatever you want to call it. And so the way David and I write and the way Joe Latruglio and I write, or when I write with Mike Black, anybody from the state that I've written with since the state ended, we kind of act it out and you know, kind of it's like writing a sketch, you know, but it's a little bit, you know, you go a little deeper and it's a longer format. But so I do act a lot of the parts out while we're doing it and vice versa. You know, Dave will start talking, like, you know, one of the things with Wanderlust, I kept trying to have Dave channel Albert Brooks, because I always saw we always saw the lead guy as a young Albert Brooks, Paul Rudd.
Right.
And
there are those moments, especially when his wife wants to, Jennifer Aniston,
Jennifer Aniston.
To have sex with someone else in the tribe, I guess you would call it, of people. But there is a very Albert Brooks-like moment with Paul Rudd, especially when he's hooking up with Malin Ackerman.
Right.
There's a very Albert Brooks moment
there. And so when we were right, a lot of times I would go, Dave, okay, we'd hit a wall and I'd say, how would Albert Brooks say
that?
And then Dave would start doing his impression of Albert Brooks, and all of a sudden, like, a great line would come out and be like, write that down, you know?
Yeah. There's another great part that reminds me of Albert Brooks now, too, when they first get the studio apartment in New York.
Right.
That is a very Albert Brooks movie-type
scene. Well, I mean, clearly, like, the movie is inspired by, you know...
Everyone's inspired. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. That's great. And you might as well pick the best, like Albert Brooks.
Yeah.
You like Albert Brooks?
I love Albert Brooks.
Yeah, what's your favorite Albert Brooks movie?
Oh, gosh.
Do you have a favorite? I love Defending Your Life.
I was going to say Defending Your Life.
Yeah, and The Muse is great.
And he was so, well, also his latest one, that car, I don't remember the title of it, where he was the badass.
Drive.
Drive.
You liked him in Drive a lot?
Oh, I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just
watched Drive.
I like Jewish mobsters.
Yeah,
I'm into this whole thing.
It was a departure for him, which I love.
Yeah.
But you tend to work with the same actors, don't you? Which is great. You got kind of like a little troupe of. There's certain people that you work with a lot, right? Christian Bell and
Mike Liam Black. David Wayne,
you know,
and Michael Showalter.
I think I've discovered early in my career that more fun to work with people you enjoy and have fun with, and can
you like working
with
your
friends. On and off the camera,
And
there's also a trust there, I think.
Especially
shorthand.
Especially when it's OPM, you love working with your friends.
Yeah.
When it's other people's money,
you love working with your friends.
That's the best.
Oh yeah.
If there is a shorthand, and especially if you're doing independent films where every second counts,
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. Like, you know, when we did role models and Joe Latruglio's character, you know, came in and we're like, okay, well, Joe, we know Joe can do that, you know, and he came in and he was awesome, you know, and it there's a certain sense of relief when you know that you can kind of say, you know, that, oh, I know that he can do that, so we can move on to the 20 other 100 other things that we have to, other fires we have to put out, or other things we need to think
about. How do you guys decide, though, how you're going to insert new talent in your tool shed? You got, so you're like, oh, I know Michael Ian Black, and here are his strengths, and here's something he could do great, and we'll put him in here, and Joe, like you were just saying. But then Kristen Bell comes along, and Malin Ackerman comes along, and how do you decide, okay, we're going to keep working with these people? Like, what did they bring to the table the first time that you're like, oh, we got to keep working with them?
I think it's, you know, what I said, you know, a little while ago, which is it's more about that you, there's somebody you have fun with off camera as well. You
sure.
know, that you enjoy them.
Yeah.
They make you laugh. You're like, you trust they know, you know, where they, you know where they, that they're going to take it and do something cool with it. And there's, and I've been lucky enough to work with so many people now in the comedy world that, like, there's an overabundance of that. You know, like, I feel bad when there's, like, somebody I know is awesome, and I'm like, I can't, I don't know how to put
them
in.
And both those ladies are in Burning Love.
Yes.
Yes, Malin, and, you know, Malin, who I first worked with on Children's Hospital, and Kristen, and I worked with...
Veronica Mars, right?
Veronica Mars.
Yeah.
Can I talk about Malin's character on Burning
Love?
Sure,
you can talk about
she's
anybody else.
So, anybody else. No, she's so funny, she's a homeless contestant.
Yes.
Oh, I like that.
So her big line, her big line is, you know, yeah, I just want to go anywhere where I have running water.
Looking for someplace warm.
Yeah, someplace warm with running water.
But that's what I love about Burning Love is you. So you have all these contestants coming on. They're fighting for your, like, rose in a way.
I present them with my hose.
Your hose.
and it's a little phallic. And or maybe not a little, it's phallic, and I say, will you accept my hose? Now, at times I'm like, I wish I could slip my hose into each and every one of your hands, but I can't.
Now, what's up with the plethora of dental hygienists?
That's just if you're a reality TV show junkie. Like my wife and I are.
There's always a woman that's a dental hygienist.
There's always several dental hygienists.
Yeah.
So we're like, okay, so let's make half of them dental hygienists.
Half of them are dental hygienists.
That's funny. Let me ask you this. So how long is each episode?
Each episode's like somewhere between, it runs between 7 and 9, 10
minutes. They're like short episodes. They're like webisodes.
They're webisodes, but they're a little more lengthy, a little meatier than...
If you've got ADD, it's okay.
It's okay.
You're all right.
But, you know, what's nice is the whole season, there's 14 episodes.
Yeah.
It runs about a little less than 2 hours. And what I didn't realize when we were making it is that it's, you actually start rooting for... characters on the show, which I never kind of thought about, but I try, you know, because we tried to make it much like the real thing or the fake real.
You're actually gonna like someone. Yeah,
what's that?
You're gonna like someone,
and people get eliminated. That you start actually kind of going, oh, okay, so who's gonna be next?
Well, I may be upset when the grandma's eliminated.
You got that old lady.
She may stay, and then I'm like, she's got to win this whole thing.
She's got to run the gauntlet.
Yeah,
grandma was cute.
I
have to say one thing that I thought was really funny. Mm-hmm. As I was watching, do you know what kind of commercials they put for your reel and the reel of the ladies? It's a Tampax commercial.
Oh, really?
You have to watch a Tampax commercial before you can meet the ladies.
Is that right?
Yes. And before you can see
that
the
Yahoo.
Trailer.
They're not stupid,
no.
That Yahoo.
It's a Tampax commercial. I thought it was really interesting.
Those
that they
Yahoos.
Would do that.
They're not stupid. Let me ask
that.
You this. All right. So we know your wife came up with the concept with you.
Yes.
And then she wrote it.
Yeah.
And then you... Okay. Do you guys take it to Ben Stiller's production company first? Do you take it to Yahoo? How did this whole process happen? And then my question is, who pays for it? How does that work
with the
web series?
You know, Erica, it came about because Erica and I were watching a season of Bachelor, and Adam Scott and his wife, Naomi, were also fans of The Bachelor, and so we're like, we got to get together for the finale. And so they came over like in a suit and like, you know, like brought over roses and and you know, we watched it, and then like the next day Erica's like, I'm going to write something kind of based on these reality shows. And so she did. I think what she had in mind is to get, you know, just to do it as like kind of a one-off, you know, for like, you know, one of these comedy websites.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm going to burp this hot dog that I just had. It's Coney Island.
Go for it.
Lovely.
Coney Island dog.
Coney Island, delicious. Owned by Mike Binder, 8873 West Sunset Boulevard, here in West
Hollywood. That's where we are. We're here.
Mike Binder loves his Detroit. Yeah.
But I just, it came back up, but I'm good now.
But you're good. It didn't come out.
It just came out. It just reminded me where I was, you know. And I think that's a sign of a good hot dog.
It is.
Hey, you're here.
Yeah.
And I'm not leaving.
No, very good. I hope you're not leaving.
No, that was the hot dog talking. So she wrote this, and we're like, let's try to shoot it. Then we brought it to Red Hour, and we brought it to...
Ben's people loved it.
Before we shot it.
The script, and then and Paramount, and then we got like a really small budget to shoot one day. We shot a trailer to then shop around. And so And we shot it around, and then once we shot the sizzle reel, and you kind of got a sense of the tone of what it was, and Erica wrote a really funny sizzle reel, people then started to show interest, and there was like a want for it.
What made you decide to do it as a webisode instead of a sitcom?
Or a movie? It's just how it... originated.
It just worked best that way.
Yeah,
the idea.
When we first thought of it, it was just a one-off, and then and we're like, well, what's the easiest way and maybe the quickest way to get this done? And that would be shooting like
Absolutely.
Us shooting it with not many middlemen, and then it just kind of all dominant. There was a little bit of a domino effect.
Have you thought about how you can spin this into a second season if it does well?
Oh, yeah.
How do you know if it does well?
That I don't know. Apparently, it's about hits.
Okay, hits. So we want people to go to Yahoo.
Yeah.
And we want them to watch Burning Love on June 4th.
I honestly don't. If you don't watch it and just hit it.
I'm not even going to watch it.
Run around to every run around to all your friends' computers and just
go. That's a great idea.
And then if you don't want to watch it, that's fine. I think it's a mistake not to watch it.
You know what we should do, Ken? This is a good idea.
All right.
I'm a brainiac.
All right, go ahead.
You know all those colleges, they got all those computer rooms with 100 computers in them?
Oh, my God.
You and I will go to each college in the area, and we'll just go to each computer and
I'll start on the East Coast, you start on the West Coast, we'll meet in the middle.
That's what we'll do. I think that's a great idea.
Let's do it.
You will have like a billion hits. This is the most popular show ever.
Everybody loves this show.
Yeah.
A lot of college libraries really love this show.
Matthew Aarons.
The show is huge in Dubuque. Dubuque? The show is you.
Love it.
Champaign, Illinois. big rating. So are you going to, if you do a second season, would you then continue with the Mark character, or would you enter a new character into this realm of the show?
I think it would be probably a new character.
A new character.
Although it would be kind of funny if Mark didn't find love and had to just keep doing the show.
That would be pretty good. That would be pretty good.
Way to give away the ending.
Sorry. Well, no, I don't know what the ending is. I'm saying that would be a funny ending.
Right. No.
I'm just giving everything away today.
We don't know it's the ending.
But you didn't give anything away. Mark does find love.
He finds love.
Or does he?
Or does... Let me ask you...
And we know the love does only last about 5 minutes.
That's right. It lasts until the publicity kind of dies down.
So did Yahoo pay for this then, this series, or is that...
Paramount and Yahoo.
They went in on it together.
I guess produced it. Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you this. So you go to Stiller's company then to pitch it to all of them, put a little weight behind it. Is that what the deal is? Or
there's a guy Mike Rosenstein who works at Stiller's company.
Yeah.
Really liked it and kind of became the point man and you know shopped around with a guy named John Stern who is a producer. on Children's Hospital.
Oh.
We gave it to John, actually, first, and I think he brought it to Mike.
Can we expect some of those people from Children's Hospital to be on the show?
Well,
is Cordry going to be on?
Cordry's not on this season. You got
Mollins
on it. I just, like, enough.
Too
of
busy.
Cordry,
yeah, enough
know?
Of
like,
Cordry.
We've, like, we've just seen too much of that guy. No, it's mostly, you know, mostly women.
Ben, though. Ben makes a couple appearances.
Ben and Christine.
Ben,
yeah.
Ben and Christine,
yeah.
Oh, Christine is in it. I forgot. Yeah, that's right.
They play last year's couple.
Yeah,
they
come
back to give me a little advice.
Ben's always funny. Ben's always funny.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I love him.
And Christine is the best. She's like, she's a wonderful lady.
You like her?
I love her.
She's
so
okay.
Funny. She's so funny in it. She's so funny. Yes, she's awesome.
That's great. Because... I'm looking at this thing, I go, this is a great vehicle, though, to showcase some female comedians.
That's
absolutely
right.
I think that's what's great about
this. That's what I loved. Like, what was exciting for me when we got the opportunity to do it and when Erica wrote it, like, I thought it was a really great outlet to have all these funny women.
Yeah.
And, I didn't know how I was going to do the character, and then I figured out how I would, like, my take on it, but, like, I was confident knowing that there were all these funny women involved, and they were going to get to kind of shine. And what's nice about it is they're awesome in it. Like everyone is. Each one of them came to play and like.
Did you do casting for it, or did you know who you wanted?
No, I think we didn't cast anybody actually.
Really?
We just offered people parts.
You're just like, I know who's good for it. Even the old woman, you knew the old woman?
Well, we looked at some tapes of her.
Okay. You had to find the old woman.
His grandmother.
Yeah, none of your friends were hanging out with old comedian broad.
by the way, Helen is unbelievable in it.
Yeah.
Like, every time she comes on screen, you're like, she's awesome.
Yeah.
So great.
So you got Helen, though, because you couldn't get Phyllis Diller?
Couldn't get Phyllis Diller.
Right.
She was...
Phyllis is still painting. Phyllis is in her home.
So I know Joan Rivers will do anything for a buck. I swear to God, she's admitted to it. She says she seriously will do anything for a dollar. A dollar.
I'll keep that in mind if I ever...
Yeah.
If you got a George Washington on.
ever need something that no other woman will do?
No other woman. Let me ask you about your start. Hmm? You started with the state.
Yeah.
Okay, so this was your like first thing, the state?
Or
were you doing commercials or other shows?
Well, the state, you went to NYU, right?
Yeah,
did you go to NYU?
Yeah, you were really smart, right?
I'm not smart at all. No,
not now, but you were really smart.
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how I got into NYU.
Copied off
an
Asian girl. That's what I did in high school.
Mostly.
I seriously did in high school.
Yeah.
I would sit next to Asian girls on purpose because they get the best grades.
Right.
And I'd like... do that move, or always drop something.
Yeah.
So you would peek at their paper, you just thought it would kind of come to you through osmosis.
But I'm much younger. I'm 28.
He's 28.
Much
He's
younger. Much
times
younger
28.
Than you people. So what we would do is you get Scantron. So you just fill in the circle.
Right.
So I'd say, oh, there's the pattern, and I'd go do the pattern. And it worked out really well. I went to good schools.
Where'd you go?
I went to DePaul, and I went to Kent State for a little while.
And then you immediately got to DePaul, and then you're like, let me find the Asian women.
I did. And then I had to go into, like...
What classes are the Asian women taking this semester?
Yeah, that's what I'd have to find. I did my gen eds, at least. And the whole copying off the Asian broads thing worked really well for me.
Yeah, you should write a book about that.
I think I may, but it's really short. It's just me telling kids, find an Asian broad and copy off her.
Right. Well, just write in big letters.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Stop writing big letters. But anyway.
Okay, but anyway.
You went to NYU.
Back to Ken.
Yeah.
Back to Ken, who this interview is about.
I was enjoying. I mean, look, I don't know what's going on. Mommy, Daddy love each other.
Burning love. Ken Marino.
Now he's
actor, director.
He's checked out.
Wife Erica Rose.
See what happened?
All right. Okay. Back to Ken.
Back to
Ken was smart, and he went to NYU.
Went to NYU, and that's where we started to. I went for acting, right? And then everybody there was a sketch comedy group there, and one guy broke off from that group and started another group, and that's how the state started.
So who's the one that broke off?
A guy named Todd Hollebeck.
Okay, he started the state?
He started the state, yeah.
Wow, and where's he?
He is a professor, I think, at NYU now, and he's also...
He didn't want to be famous?
He just kind of stopped. He didn't like the business, I don't think, too much.
Really?
So he's an artist, and he creates these beautiful sculptures, and he's a really interesting guy.
So for our listeners who have not gotten to check out the state, 93 through 95, by the way, it was on MTV.
That's right, yeah.
Name for them who's in the state. They'll be wild.
Okay, you got...
blow some people away.
Michael Ian Black.
Yeah, he's good.
Michael Showalter.
Good.
David Wayne.
Pretty good.
Joe Latruglio.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Kerry Kenny.
Uh-huh.
Tom Lennon.
Yeah, it's a good group. Mm-hmm.
Ben Garant.
Oh.
Michael Patrick Jan. He directed a lot of the stuff. He was behind the camera, but he works all the time in this town. And then Kevin Allison.
Yeah. Everyone loves Thomas Lennon. He's in everything.
I know. Tom
he's in everything.
He has the cutest baby named Oliver.
He's a very talented
Oliver.
Guy.
Oliver. Yeah. Oliver.
Yes, his son is just a, so the
cute.
Cutest little thing.
I love him.
I don't like babies.
All right.
Well, another time.
I'll keep that. I'll keep that in mind.
Another time.
You're 28.
I'll keep that in mind. Come Christmas.
You're 28.
Yeah.
All right. You're 28.
Now I know what not to get you.
Another place. not a baby.
Check that off the list.
Oh my gosh! Look at all the people that were in that.
So
unbelievable.
Okay. All right. So after the state, what weird roles did you get that this wonder person on IMDb is talking about? Your leading man looks that got you some big dramatic roles.
Well,
when you were like on NYPD Blue and you're like, what the fuck am I doing here?
I think that's kind of what they're talking about. I moved out. I was the first state guy, I think, to move out here. I came out here in 97.
Oh, wow.
And I came out here to start shooting pilots because the state stopped making. The state never really made money because there were too many people and we were working on like MTV that didn't pay. And then
you were just paying rent.
We were just getting by.
Yeah.
And then when MTV stopped and we tried to do something on CBS, that kind of crashed and burned.
Yeah.
And so we were like, oh, and now what do we do? And so everybody had to kind of break off and do something. And I took that opportunity to come out here, and I'm going to burp again.
Hot dogs,
chili. It's that chili.
I had the sauerkraut. I had a New York style.
Oh, you had sauerkraut.
Sauerkraut and mustard. And
that's
so I came out here and I started shooting pilots and guest spots. And what was interesting is when I came out here, you know, in New York or in the state, I was doing stupid characters and big, broad kind of things. And then I came out here and nobody knew me and nobody knew kind of that I was in a sketch comedy group. So I just wound up booking, like, Nice Guy Boyfriend.
Yeah.
Nice Guy Boyfriend who's got six toes, or Nice Guy Boyfriend who turns out to have, a dead person in their
basement. Then you regained your dignity when you got Men Behaving Badly, right?
No, well, that actually...
Did you continue to do any sketch comedy during that time, or...?
Not really. No. I was like, let me try to get into the TV world of it. And, because that's what I wanted to do prior to being in the state. And,
yeah.
And then I booked Men Behaving Badly pretty quickly. And that was that moved me out here officially, and that was
that was a big deal for you,
oh,
though, right?
Gosh.
You're getting paid.
It was a big deal in that I got a part that a lot of people were auditioning for on a show that was on a year, but I came into a production that was like kind of already tumultuous, and
that's
like,
okay, though, because but what I mean is, yeah, that show was a mess, but you were getting paid so you could be out here and you could work, and you kind of, you know, were networking, and it was good for that time in your life.
It was good in the sense that I was like, I got that experience.
Yeah.
And it was hard because I was used to working with a lot of people who we all supported each other, and it was like, it was this family. Even though we were very competitive, the state was very competitive, everybody was like lifting.
Everybody had each other's back.
Everybody was lifting each other up, and we were doing it. We always considered ourselves like this 11-headed monster. And then I came out here, and it was me alone, and I got on the show, and I was like, oh, I'm on a show. But I didn't quite understand what that meant, and I was alone. And it wasn't like... you know, different shows have different, there's a different chemistry and different chemical kind of mixture of people. And, you know, it just, and the show was trying to reinvent itself. And it was, so I got paid.
Yeah.
I got paid and then it ended. And then I had to kind of figure out what exactly I wanted to do out here.
Yeah.
But the long-winded answer to your question is, then I did a bunch of stuff, and then I did Wet Hot American Summer with the guys,
yep.
And it was kind of like a splash of
cold
water in the face.
Did you do the Sketch Fest Did you do the San Francisco Sketch Fest redoing?
Yeah.
You were there?
Yeah, you were there? Yeah, I wore, I wore my original wig. I wore my fro.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wore some short shorts, and I dressed up as Victor Pulak. But, I mean, you know, then when we did that, I was like, oh, this is, and this kind of goes back to what we were talking about much earlier, which is that's when I was like, oh, this is what I want to do, which is I want to create stuff with people I love and I care about and I think are really funny, and that can be done. You might have to take other jobs that are
He's another one like you, though, jack all trades.
Well, I think sometimes in Hollywood you have to be.
But he's great. Like, Wanderlust, have you seen Wanderlust?
Yes.
Okay, really funny,
amazing.
Right? Really funny. But you were great in the movie
as
Rick, as the brother-in-law.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
By the way, but, like, you're the biggest dick ever in that
movie.
Yeah,
he's a real
asshole. Great.
Yeah.
It's great. And
thanks.
The wife, I mean, I don't know.
Michaela Watkins.
I loved
she's
it.
Awesome.
I loved it. I loved it. And then she just flips on you at the it's a great movie. I think it's a great movie. I'm disappointed not as many people saw it.
Me too. You and me both.
Yeah. Yeah. We were supposed to have David Wayne on the show a few times. And I love David Wayne. Like, one of my favorite directors, writers ever. And we were supposed to have him on around the time of Wanderlust. And then I think when it didn't do as hot as people had hoped, I think we lost Dave.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, I think so.
Well,
but I'll get him. I will say this.
David's a great guy, yeah. And he would be a great guest on your show.
Yeah, well, Michael Ian Black, and Michael and I, we talk still quite often. He's a great guy.
Again, another incredible guy. A great human being, and then a super funny man.
You would think he's not. I think because of his smarmy style,
right,
to a degree, you would think he's like kind of a dick.
Right.
He wrote me some of the nicest notes ever about the show and stuff. And when we did our 100th, he wrote me a nice note.
Right.
Like, just a nice, nice guy.
He wants you to think he's
a badass.
That he doesn't care, but he's a big pussycat.
Yeah.
Did you read his book? His latest book?
No.
It's
have to read.
Beautiful and funny and wonderful and honest and real. And
he's so talented. He's so talented.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah,
he's bringing it back to Burning Love. He's really, really funny.
Yeah, I can't wait to see him on Burning Love, which is June 4th on Yahoo. I love that Yahoo and Google and Netflix. I love that they're putting out original stuff.
Me too.
I think this is a great time to do kind of like what we do in the business, which is some like shorter web-based content. I think it's going to be a good time for that.
I hope so. I mean, I think that it feels like it's a big part of the future in entertainment.
This is one of the biggest series on the web, though, coming out, Burning Love.
Well, I hope people watch it. I hope you're right.
There's a great cast. It looks like a movie. It's shot like movie quality. So, and that's because great cameras you can get nowadays for cheap, like the Canon 7Ds or the Reds. Mm-hmm. You can get them now cheap, and you know it looks great. There's a great cast. It's funny. You're getting the same kind of comedy that you know. Wanderlust is what, a $20 million movie, maybe less. You're getting that same kind of comedy to do this show. I mean, it's a great opportunity just to...
You know, I mean, the great thing about doing stuff for the web,
and
I think one of the reasons we got so many good people, is it's short. You don't have to commit to it for too long.
No.
And there are people like Kristen who, you know, or Malin, and a lot of the women on the show, you know, Janet Varney and Abigail Spencer, and all these, Natasha Leggero, all these funny, funny women who don't necessarily get a chance to maybe do... this type
That's
of funny
great.
Thing.
Yeah.
And so they're like, yeah, I'll do it. And how long am I, you know, what's the time? Oh, 3 days? Yeah,
yeah.
I'm coming to do it.
Yeah, it's great.
So,
but he is a jack of all trades.
He is. I'm serious about that.
No, really?
That.
Swinging it back. I like
no,
that.
but Ann knows this about this show, which is I don't have anyone on that I don't like. Like, we're very picky about my guests. Very, I mean, I'd rather just do like, I don't know, we did 100 shows this year. I'd rather just do 100 shows with all people I like.
Sure.
And 200 shows with people I don't fucking know. So I really am glad you've come on in. But
oh, thank you for having me.
And as much as I'd like to be original and different, I'm going to have to ask you two questions that every single person on the planet's asking you.
Okay.
Because I'm not doing my job if I don't.
Can I guess what they are?
You know what they are.
Okay, well, when is the Wet Hot movie getting made?
Yep.
The second
one is? Go ahead.
The second one, that's a tougher one. Let me
Party
see.
Down.
Oh, Party Down Movie.
Yep.
Okay.
Go ahead. Wet Hot American Summer 2.
I have
though.
No idea. I know that those guys, Michael Showalter and David Wayne, wrote it.
Yep.
And so right now they're shooting a movie that they wrote right after Wet Hot, like right after that we did a table read in San Francisco, and it went really well. And so they're shooting that movie.
Are you going to be in it?
It's called They Came Together. I'm not sure. I'm shooting some other stuff, so I'm
You're
trying
a busy
to figure
man.
It out. Well,
well, yeah, you know.
Again, I'm trying to stay out of the red. I'm just trying to put food in my kid's mouth.
That's right.
And then the Party Down movie. I know they were writing it, and we were hoping to shoot it soon. And I just know that. I don't think the script is ready yet. But I know they're working on it. And I know that everybody who is in it. In front of the camera and behind the camera are dying to do it.
Well, yeah, and that leads me to, I want to talk to you about something real, and I don't mean to be offensive, so please hang in there with me.
What are you going to do? Are you going to fart in the mic? What's happening?
No, no, I just wanted to know, okay. For you,
yes.
You've done all this quality programming, Party Down, Veronica Mars, The State, okay, all these great shows that don't get the kind of commitment from the networks that you would like.
Right.
What do you think the reasoning is for that? How can you do a show that is universally acclaimed numerous times, numerous different shows, and Michael too, Michael Ian Black, I mean, look at Michael and Michael Have Issues was amazing.
That was a good
and
show.
Comedy Central cut it off at the balls.
Yeah.
So why? What is the deal?
Well, I think that I don't know if these shows are universally loved.
You don't think so?
I think that sometimes they're critically liked, sometimes not. Sometimes it's very black and white. Sometimes they like.
Do you think like a show like Party Down is too much niche comedy?
Do you think it's not universal comedy? I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like it's not. They're not universally loved. You know. I mean, there's a cult following and a strong cult following for that. You know, yeah. Party Down, and there was for The State, which I'm shocked about just how long that's kind of stuck around.
Still.
I think one of the reasons it was just hard to get on DVD for a long time, so it was like kind of cool to pass around VHS tapes and stuff. It was just the timing of it. But I think when we were hitting it on The State, I think there's some really special sketches on that.
Yeah.
So I'm not talking down about The State at all. But I think all the shows that you're talking about, the reason that they're not popular is because there are not enough people watching them. But the people who do watch them recognize how cool they are or how funny they are, and so that's why they're cool. That's why I think they become like kind of cool shows, because there's a small group that kind of gets to own it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if you know this, but this is completely true.
Yes,
it all makes total sense.
Total
and,
sense.
And I maybe I don't know if Van knows this or not. So this is.
This is a great time to ask, because he'll probably tell
you. I'm going to let you know. You guys have done such great comedy the last 10, 15 years, 20 years coming up on. Okay? You've done some great comedy. You guys, Saturday Night Live is not what it used to be. And, I mean, you could say what you want, and I'm sure you have friends on there, or people have friends on there, and they're like, oh, yeah, it's a good show, blah, blah, blah. No, it fucking sucks. Here's the deal, man. Here's the deal. No, this is the truth. This is the truth from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah.
You guys are the guys that comedians like myself, younger guys, want to work with or want to be more like. You were the Albert Brooks. You were the Gary Shandlings of your generation that inspired us to work on what we do now.
Thanks.
It's not these Saturday Night Live things. It's not. You guys, Mike Liam Black, yourself, David Wayne, Paul Rudd, Judd Apatow, this is the group of guys that is like, we look up to. And I don't know if you know that, but, I mean, that's the truth. You guys have overtaken what Saturday Night Live used to be to your group and Second City TV. And what used to be when you guys were growing up, you're looking up to Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd. You guys are Bill Murrays or Dan Aykroyds. That's the truth. I don't know, if you know that about our younger comedy people. But
no, absolutely.
No, it's you guys
sketch
we want
to... Sketch comedy has always produced funniest people.
You guys have the biggest influence on
that's us. That's very nice of you to say. I think SNL has just become something different than what it used to be.
Yeah.
It can't be the rebellious thing that it was 35 years ago, 30 years ago.
It can still be funny.
But it still turns out very funny people.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And from time to time, there's some really good sketches on
I'm
it.
I'm sure
I
there
mean,
are.
Like, I mean, and like, you know, the Lonely Island guys put out
sure.
stuff that's, like, awesome. And there's, like...
I'm sure they're good dudes. I'm sure it's funny. But I just can't watch the show. I can't get through it. I think it's awful.
I think we can safely say that Matthew does not like SNL.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
And now I will check off that, off the Christmas list.
Right.
Two tickets
okay,
to
we're
SNL.
Not.
Look, I watched SNL in the 90s at the same time I was watching The State, like, religiously, because...
Who was on in the 90s?
Bill Hartman, who I love.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sandler, Farley,
right.
Spade,
yeah.
Schneider,
yeah.
Like, Tim Meadows, I mean, Jan Hooks,
right. Yeah.
Some great... Great, talented people.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at now. I don't even know any of their names.
Oh, come on.
Oh,
I really don't.
Jason Sudeikis, Bill Hader.
Come on,
he left.
Bill
Hader.
Sudeikis
left.
Will Forte.
Sudeikis is gone. See ya. Next
Kristen
year,
Wiig,
who's
Kristen
on the
Wiig.
Show?
Yeah.
Gone. Who's on the show next
year? Yeah, but that's the exciting part. Like, you know, when
now
Will,
the new
Will,
generation
now
is
wait,
come in.
When Will Ferrell came on that show, were you like, oh, Will Ferrell's going to be the next big thing?
Yeah, yes.
Right away?
Yes, he was great.
Right
he
away?
He was great right out of the box. Come on, Ken. He was great right out of the box.
I mean, I was like, wow, this guy's good, but I wasn't like, oh, my God, he's going to be the
but
next
you can't
big,
tell me
thing.
Sudeikis is in the same Wiig as Will Ferrell.
No, he's a different type of character. He can't – they do different things.
I suppose.
They fill different roles. But, I mean, Sudeikis is crazy funny. That guy's funny.
Is he?
I don't know.
Yes, he's more of a straight man funny man
Will
is crazy funny man.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. I don't watch the show religiously because I can't even get through one.
Well, on that show, he kind of, he's
and
like,
I didn't
he's
love him in
like,
Hall Pass. I didn't love him in a couple things.
Oh, he's, did you see him in, what was the one with Jennifer Aniston? In the,
you could sell me on it. Tell me on it. I'm
Horrible Bosses. He's great.
Yeah, I hated Horrible Bosses. I'm one of the only people. And I love Jason Bateman. Love.
What did you like about it?
How many people mistake you for Jason Bateman, by the way?
Me?
Yeah.
Nobody? Not many, no. Hey, my nose is much bigger.
Well, okay. Well, what I didn't like about Horrible Bosses?
I thought it was well done.
I just didn't think it was as funny as everyone else did. And
I thought it was,
I'm not a huge Charlie Day guy.
Really?
Yeah, he doesn't do it for me.
My
he
God.
Doesn't do it for me either.
I love that dude.
I thought Aniston was fantastic in it.
I thought she was great.
I thought she was fantastic.
Here's what I loved about it.
Yeah.
It was exactly what I loved about the first Hangover, which
okay.
was fresh. They were like, I hate to say this because
it
like,
is a new concept.
It was a cool concept, but it was also like fresh faces, like a fresh combination of guys, and I liked their chemistry. And so like I enjoyed I like Charlie Day. I like Jason and I like Bateman, and so like watching them work together was fun. And so as long as it's not like a train wreck of a movie, which it wasn't.
No.
And then Jen, who I worked with on Wanderlust, who
she's
is
fantastic.
Is awesome.
I think
she's
very
just,
underrated.
She's completely underrated, and she's super funny, and she's just one of the most, outside of being super talented, she's like one of the kindest people I've ever met.
Yeah.
She's terrific in it, you know, and so I enjoyed it. And then I had Kevin Spacey, who I enjoyed.
I'm trying to look
like,
and see what I like. I know I had to like Sudeikis and something. I'm looking.
We've got gnats around us.
I'm sure there's something I like Sudeikis in. There had to be something.
Well, it doesn't matter. Now, who do you get mistaken for, Ken?
Me?
Yeah, you don't get mistaken for... is that like what is going on
We've
here?
We've got this little fly that will not leave us alone. He loves
us. No, every once in a while somebody will mistake me for, like a State fan will mistake me for Showalter.
Okay.
Really? Just because they don't know your name.
You don't get Nathan Fillion?
Because we both have big noses.
Everyone just concentrates on the nose.
And we're white.
Who else young? Okay, because the other thing is I don't think Sudeikis is young. All right, young. How do you guys, as like the top of the comedy heap, how do you guys find out about younger people, or do you not care about that? You just do you guys ever try to like stay in touch with the younger comedy crowd?
I mean, I live close to the UCB theater out here.
Yeah.
So I
Matt Walsh
know,
is the, you,
yeah
yeah it's
Matt
great
and Amy and
yeah Amy Poehler and yeah
and so I like you know going there and seeing people. I don't go as often as I'd like because I have two
you're
kids.
Busy.
Well, I have two children,
yeah.
So when I'm done with stuff, I usually don't go out to the comedy shows
yeah.
as much as I'd like. I'm usually watching like Phineas and Ferb or Yo Gabba Gabba. but you know, I'll go there and see some stuff. I'm not as connected to it as say, I think like Tom Lennon and Ben, those guys are really kind of
they try to stay up to date on all that and everything.
But, you know, I mean, I try to watch, you know, what's funny. And I think, like, that's why I think Always Sunny is, like, unbelievable. And I think, like, he's not young, but Louie, like, you know, there's shows that, like, you just kind of go, okay, well, I like that sensibility. I like those guys. And then, like, that's why, for me, when I first started watching Always Sunny, I was like, I mean, I think they're all great. I think all those guys are great. But Charlie Day happened to stand out for me because he just, he's this burst of energy. And, and I just like his comic style, you know?
Yeah, I guess it is just a style. He has a different style.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just not used to it or I don't love it. What is with this
but
fly?
It's going to
annoy
me. It is hard to stay on the pulse of who's coming up because exactly what you're saying, you know, you have children, you have a life, and you're not going out to those clubs all the time. So it's really sometimes you see them at auditions or you see them, you know, somebody recommends something or, you know, you see them on a webisode or something like that, you know, and that's how you discover people. It's hard.
I'm still trying to be in the mix of it, you know. So like, I'm not thinking about like who's the next guy coming up. I'm still trying to kind of like,
but also to preserve your longevity as a comedian, shouldn't you know who's coming up?
I disagree. I think it helps at all.
As a writer and a producer,
well, as a writer and a producer, but as an actor comedian, I really think you have to stay. You can't think about what other people are doing.
Oh no! You but know, he writes and he produces, and don't you need to know? Because at some point in time, when he's 55, they're not going to be making a lot of movies for 55-year-olds.
No,
you're going to have to make movies for younger people, and you're going to have to know. Yeah,
absolutely.
So that, that's what I mean by that.
So yeah, I mean, I think you're right, and I'm probably not as good at it or haven't
you
kept
will
up
be,
on
though,
it as
when
as,
you have to be. As, that's what happens.
As yeah, you have to be.
People get to the point where they have to be, and then they get real good at it real fast.
I mean, I had, like, you know, on Party Down, I worked with Ryan Hansen and Martin Starr and Lizzie Kaplan.
He's good.
And Adam
Star's
Scott.
Good. Star's
He's
good.
He's awesome. He's great.
Adam Scott's
but all
good.
Those guys are, you know, like, I when I work with them, I'm like, hey, those are my peers, but they weren't. You
what's,
know,
funny
like,
about,
actually,
what's funny about
actually
Adam?
Actually, like, 10 years, 12 years younger than me.
I could be
like,
their uncle.
I'm like, you know?
I didn't know they were that much younger than you. I didn't know Adam Scott was, is he?
Well, Adam Scott,
he's more,
I think
he's
Adam
your
Scott's
age.
In his 30s.
No? Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to look it up.
Oh, he's going to look it up now.
I bet
I
he's
have
30,
to know everything.
I bet he's 37.
And you work with Jane Lynch.
Work with Jane.
She's amazing.
She was
older
than me. But like,
he's older than you, Ken.
Who?
Adam Scott was born in 73.
No, he's not older than me.
April 3rd, 1973.
Yeah.
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 No, not older than you?
I'm 68.
He was born in 1968.
My bad. You're 68?
I know. I was born in 68.
Oh, I thought you were 68.
No, I did.
I was laughing at you being 68 years old. Oh, so he's not that much. He's not that much younger than you, though.
I think I said.
You don't look like you were born in 68, though.
Are you hitting on me?
Yeah, a little bit.
Let's have a hot dog. Let's have a hot dog after this.
Yeah, I'm sure your breath smells great right now, too, with all that burping you've been doing with the chili.
I wasn't talking about that kind of hot dog.
Oh, well, then I'm fine.
He might give you his hose.
And but this is for you, Ann. I want to. Ann, you were a casting director,
yes,
as you pointed out before,
yes,
and I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you go about finding young talent yourself when you were casting?
Well, obviously, it's a lot easier for a casting director because people get submitted to you.
Yeah.
And people are, you know, agents are trying to always push their young talent on you. But if you have the time, then you go to showcases and go to the Comedy Store, go to the Laugh Factory, go to, you know, things like that. But, you know, it's a lot easier, especially now. When I was casting, my gosh, in the 90s, it was still headshots. It's amazing what you can do now because everything
watch
gets
anything.
Taped. Everything's like boom, 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 and you can watch it all. People don't even really have to come in sometimes, which I don't like. I like seeing people in a room.
I was watching this interview with Bob Odenkirk last night, who I love. Bob Odenkirk. You like Bob?
I do, yes.
He's talented, right?
Yeah,
he's funny as fuck. All right.
I've only met him in kind of passing.
Isn't that weird how your two groups never really crossed?
Well, I know. I mean,
no,
I know
no
David,
pun intended.
I know David Cross.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've sat down and talked to him a little bit here and there, but Odenkirk I've like kind of seen at, you know,
he's
like
amazing.
Engagements and then been like, hey, how you doing, man?
Do you watch Breaking Bad? Have you seen him on that?
I haven't caught up and I haven't seen it since he's been on it. So.
All right, you gotta watch it. It's great. But so I'm watching this thing with Bob, and He said two kids sent him a DVD in the mail, and he said he gets sent DVDs all the time, and he just happened to watch this one, and that's how he made Tom Goes to the Mayor. It was these two kids. He just found them. It's weird how it happens, right? But, I mean, I used to ask this question a lot when I first started the show. And now, like 110 episodes in, you're kind of like, it's different for everybody, how they get discovered, how they get found. I can say this. The most common theme for people listening that do want to be in the business is a lot of it has to do with connections. But just because you don't have the connections now doesn't mean you can't have them. It doesn't mean it's a lost cause if you're sitting in, you know, Dubuque and you're like, well, I don't know anybody. But that's why the business is out here and in New York.
Right.
If you're
going
to make cars, you go to Detroit. If you make movies and TV, you go to LA.
Okay.
And, yeah, and I mean, you'll make the connections and you'll network, but that's usually how everything comes about is, oh, this guy's really funny. I know him. I saw him do this. You got to check it out. It's usually around that kind of thing.
I completely agree. I think one of the things you need to do if you are an aspiring young comedian or writer or actor is you need to surround yourself with the people of the same who have the same passion and desire, and you know, be around it not. Be around it as much as possible, you know, and hang out with those people and create with those people, and because you never know who's going to
pop first,
who's going to hit, and who's going to go, hey, you know, I'm going to direct this thing. I want my buddies to be in it. And, like, I mean, I was just listening to Danny McBride on a podcast.
I love him.
And he was talking about, like, the reason that he put this way happened is he came out here with a bunch of dudes, and then, like, it didn't work out for a lot of them, and then he went back, and then, like, his buddy wrote this script, and he's like, all right. And his buddy didn't have enough, didn't know any actors, so he's like, you know, but he knew Danny and his, you know, his group of friends. He's like, can you do this? And he's like, yeah, I'll do it. And then, you know, he shined in it, and he became,
Foot Fist Way, I thought was one of the best movies of that year. I loved it.
I mean, Foot Fist Way is a great example of doing something that, you know, creating something and putting it out there. And I think along with surrounding yourself with people who are passionate about the same thing that you're passionate about is you have to, if you want to make it, or not make it, but if you want to
work,
you, the only thing you have control of is you know, creating material and putting it and putting it out there for people to see. And so surround yourself with people in
this
town.
Look at the state. You guys are all working. You guys, that showed the passion of who you surrounded yourself with. Everyone had the passion to want to work, and they're all doing it. And they're,
but it's hard, it's hard sometimes. But a lot of people become actors or comedians because they feel like it's an easy gig.
Yeah.
And it's not. And it can be easy, but in that you don't have to work a lot. But you probably won't work a lot because you're not doing anything. So unless you put yourself and have some sort of drive.
Absolutely. I remember the times when, you know, anybody who had 10 minutes of material would get a holding deal as a comedian. And people, they wanted to be famous. They didn't want to do the craft.
Right. They didn't have anything after 10 minutes.
Absolutely.
Right.
And they were really chasing the fame. And you can't chase the fame. You want to, I mean, this is a craft. You have to want to do quality work.
Yeah.
And I really think quality work, hopefully, at a certain point, if you continue to do quality work, you will be rewarded for that.
Right.
And
people work to work begets work. But you never know how it's gonna you never know how it's gonna come to you, you know.
Exactly.
And it never comes the way you think it's gonna come.
And let me ask you, when George was doing Lopez Tonight, how would they find new comedians? Because he used to have a lot of new talent on his show. Do you know?
You know what? A lot of the comedians were, you know, friends of George's that were on there. And,
so how would George find new comedians then? Just checking them out in clubs and stuff?
Yeah, I think he just would hear about them and see them. I don't think that many new comedians were actually on Lopez Tonight. I mean, a few.
Well, he would get some hot up and coming.
Yeah, hot up and coming.
That's what I meant.
Yeah. And, you know, people get a little juice and then, you know.
I always liked that about that show, though. I really liked George's show. For the same reason that I liked Arsenio, they had that party vibe.
Right.
I liked that. That was a fun show.
Have you been watching Key and Peele?
I do. I watch Key and Peele.
Like
I think it's funny as
fuck. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. You were on one, weren't you?
I did one, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did they come
Key
and do
and
a show?
Key and Peele did the show. Yeah,
I mean,
they're great.
I mean, those guys
are... They're funny.
Are,
and they were in Wanderlust.
They were both in Wanderlust, and Keegan was in Role Model.
Now, how'd you hook them up with Wanderlust? Because obviously they shot that show. You shot the movie way before they shot the show.
Yeah, we shot the movie before the show. I mean,
so,
David,
so you
David
knew
had,
you wanted Jordan.
So they were in Role Models.
Yeah.
Were they Role Models?
One was. Keegan was in Role Models.
Keegan was in Role Models.
Yeah.
You know, we wrote this one part that Jordan played, and David had worked with Jordan on a pilot through Red Hour.
Gotcha.
And was like, this guy's awesome. And so we had him in mind to play that part, and... You know, we just had to convince the studio to cast him, which was easy.
That's great.
Because we just showed him his audition reel. And then Keegan, we called up and we were like, can you do this? I mean, those guys... But what's amazing about those guys is they're super talented, but they're like, they couldn't be sweeter people. They couldn't... Like, that's what's exciting about watching Key and Peele. Outside of it being, I think, kind of, a really, really funny sketch show... is that the guys behind it are these genuine good people.
Yeah.
So you root for it. You know, you want them to do...
They seem like great guys.
They're terrific guys.
Now, Burning Love, which once again premieres June 4th.
June 4th.
June 4th.
June 4th on Yahoo. Can you go at like midnight on June 4th? It's up there? Or is there like a time where...
That's a great question. I'm going to just say yes,
yes,
but I don't know the answer.
Just keep reloading the screen until it pops up.
Yeah, but I will say go to as many computers as possible and watch it, or don't.
We will.
But at least start it up.
What's the filming schedule like per episode?
We shot a 120-page script, which was the whole season,
okay,
in 8 days.
Wow.
That's about, what is that, 20 pages a day, 15 pages
a
day?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's insane.
It was crazy. It was a crazy shoot, and I think the
a lot of improv then?
There was, well, with improv, probably I would say we shot about 175 pages. There was some improv. I mean, we improvised, but the script was pretty tight, and Erica wrote some, you know, a funny script. But yeah, we had a lot of comedians in it who enjoyed improv, and I encouraged that as we were shooting.
No, that's great.
Especially one that I can't name.
Yeah, we don't know why. We don't know why, but we can't.
We can't name.
We can't go there.
We can't go there.
What other stuff do you got coming up, Ken?
You have to watch Burning Love
on June
4th.
Love. Well, look, Burning Love's coming out June 4th. I don't know if we mentioned
That's a big deal.
And then, Hit That. Is that the web lingo?
I'm hitting it.
Hey, Hit That.
I'm hitting
hit
it.
That.
Hit That June 4th.
The 4th of June.
All right, we're just going to start a new saying.
But what else
hit
do
that
you,
show.
What else do you have
got
coming
Children's
up?
Hospital coming
Children's
out
Hospital.
In August, I think. I think it might be coming out August.
How many episodes they put out at this time? Do you film more than they actually put out?
No, we shoot. I think we shot 14.
So they're going to do all 14 in one shot? Or do they save some of them?
No, there's a season of 14, and then 12 or 14, I think.
Okay.
And each season is around
Children's Hospital, for people who haven't seen it, phenomenal. It's even better high, I hear.
This is, not that you smoke weed.
I'm going to tell you a story.
Oh, Matthew.
This is how I got to know Children's Hospital.
Okay.
There was when I was into the Marahooch. Back at home, we would go to this. There were very few places where you can actually smoke. So we would go to this place that sold fake weed and fake cocaine.
Okay? What? Where?
What?
Swear to God. Okay.
Where was this?
There's these things going around now called bath salts. That you can, like, snort, and it's like cocaine. And it's actually worse for you. You can, like, die from it and stuff, like, even quicker than, you know, if you were going to die from cocaine.
Please don't do this at home, kids.
No, don't do this at home. Yeah, right. So of course, we'd go there and smoke our real weed. We didn't want any of that fake shit, but that was our way of getting away with it. The cops would come, and they'd see all this fake weed, and they're like, oh, the fake weed. Never mind.
Right.
So they had a TV there, and we'd always watch Cartoon Network, or I don't know, whatever the fuck they call it now. Adult Swim,
yeah.
Okay, so I'd watch Children's Hospital, but the first couple times I watched it, I was so high that I didn't know what I was watching or anything. I went, Ken Marino, you know, and you know, I'm like, and Rob Corddry just kind of like creeped me out all the time on the show, and,
clown makeup,
and I'm like,
yeah.
I gotta watch this like sober. So it's a good time either way. But let me tell you, it's a good time either way.
I feel like we should just take that clip, that sound clip right there,
yeah.
that explanation, and use that as a commercial for Children's Hospital.
For Children's Hospital.
It's a
either
lot,
way.
It's a lot of fun, high or not. It is. Yeah. It's just a different...
That's our motto.
I suggest doing it both ways so you get two different views
yeah,
of
yeah.
the show.
More hits.
More hits.
You got to hit it high, you got to hit it low.
Because
you know?
You'll find things funny that aren't necessarily funny because you're high.
Right.
And then you'll get all the jokes when you're sober. So
right.
either way, it's win-win.
Yeah. So, yeah. And if it was a webisode, you could... hit it twice because,
it
you know,
twice.
You get more hits because you'd have to do it high and not high.
And I think well, hitting would make sense while you're high.
Yeah, that's yeah. true.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
a lot of ways to hit it when you're high.
So I got to imagine that show's big, though, with the pot-smoking crowd.
I look, I mean,
you
don't,
you have
I
no
don't
idea.
Know. I don't know.
You've
I got,
never
I,
heard.
But
like
he
said,
hasn't
like,
taken a poll.
Like I said, I watch Phineas and Ferb and Yo Gabba Gabba with my kids. But if the young
have
stoners
you watched
enjoy
Yo
it.
Yo Gabba Gabba high?
I have not.
That could be fun.
I have not. I bet it would be.
That could be a little fun.
Phineas and Ferb
I don't know how great
though.
Of a father you would be
would
watching
be
Yo Gabba Gabba
father,
High.
Yeah.
My daughter.
I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to explain the 10 to my son.
I think, I actually
especially my
think
scene.
The 10 is like the worst movie you've done to show your kids. like
thank,
I was thinking, Wanderlust does have a couple like penises and tits in it. So
yeah,
that's
but it's
like
different.
A little. I mean,
I get brutally raped in,
yeah,
in prison.
Yeah, the 10
by Rob Corddry.
Yeah, I would say the 10, especially since you're their father.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
you're the one getting brutally raped.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then it says written by and produced by.
Yeah, so it's like
Dad.
A fantasy coming.
Dad.
They're gonna be like, well, Dad, why
yeah,
would
yeah.
you write
yeah.
yourself getting raped?
Yeah. Well, son,
into
it's,
this
you know,
movie.
I'd like to, you know, it's a, I'd like to. like
we're
stretch,
trying to explore the comedy of that.
Well, okay. Anyways, Ken Marino, I want to thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much. I'm glad I
June 4th,
Burning
I was able
Love,
to do this.
June 4th.
This was a blast.
I'm glad you did too. I hope you do it again. I mean,
anytime.
Look, you know, it's you know,
I'm not far away.
Not
I'm
much,
up the street,
but
you know?
It's something.
I think it's fabulous. I love your show.
Oh.
And congratulations on 110.
110.
I didn't write you an email
no.
like Michael Ian Black, so I'm sure I'm like second tier, but I get
or
it.
Me.
I get it.
or
Ann Lopez did not write one either. I'm sorry.
Ann, you didn't write me an email. That's right.
It's just because I lust for you. That's why.
Oh, well.
Wow.
Burning
Somehow,
Love, June 4th on Yahoo. Thank you very, very
thank
much,
you so
Ken
much.
Marino.
What a pleasure.
Not Dan Marino.
Not Dan
for
Marino.
For those
no,
at
never,
home.
No.
Not even
not
related.
Even, not related. No, Marinos are like the Smith of Italians.
But I think we should reshoot you know, that Hootie and the Blowfish video, and you could be Dan Marino, and I'll be Hootie.
I gotta go home and I gotta YouTube Hootie and the Blowfish and see
I don't
want
to be with you. And they're like playing football in
oh,
like
yeah,
this
yeah,
high
yeah,
school
yeah,
like
yeah. Okay.
Man, 90s videos were so great. They
yeah.
were so awful that
yeah,
they were great.
Terrible. Well, 80s were 80s.
The 90s
videos.
Was the worst for music.
Yeah.
Though.
Really? But for videos, I mean,
oh,
go back and look at like the first 10 years of videos on MTV.
Yeah.
And 80s like,
videos
the
were the worst. Yeah. But 90s, they should have known better.
Right. They should have learned after 10 years of making videos.
Well, they also made Joe's Apartment in the 90s, so
that's
what
right.
do I know?
That's right.
They didn't learn everything. Thank you very much, Ken. Ann Lopez.
Darling.
Producer Ann Lopez.
Oh, please, darling.
Ann, thank you, Ann.
World
you, Ken.
Famous
you're wonderful.
Producer.
You.
So great.
Thank you so much for joining me.
No, thank you for having me.
I love you so much.
And I will still give you shit on Facebook.
That's okay. You can give me all the shit you want on Facebook.
All right.
I'll add Ken on Facebook
okay.
so he can give me shit, too.
When he's very inappropriate, I give him lots of shit on Facebook.
Yes. She doesn't like my language. Or talking about Elizabeth Olsen's boobs.
Whoa.
Yeah.
She doesn't like that.
Oh. What, I didn't hear that part.
He can know. He got
can,
it.
Okay, all right, all right. She's a young girl, darling. A young
right,
girl.
Right, right,
you
right.
put
right.
her pants back on?
I'm a young girl, too, Ann. And I enjoy a little booby here and there. All right,
wow.
thank you very much. Ann Lopez,
thank you.
Ken Marino, Burning Love, June 4th
Burning
on
Love.
Yahoo.
Watch it.
Watch it.
Hit it, guys.
Watch
hit
it.
It.
Thank you very much. Have a good week. I'll see you guys next week when I'm back in Chicago.
I love you.
I love you, too.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Yeah. Goodbye.
Thank you, Ken.